of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by the Wonderland Tourism Bureau. We're all mad here.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And we have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Hooray for Hollywood!
How southern of you.
Is that southern?
No, it's not southern at all. Hollywood's on the west coast.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? I don't think that's a very southern
How
thing.
How southern?
Oh, I do love me some Hollywood.
We do love Hollywood, though.
We do.
Hollywood Studios?
We do love Hollywood.
Is that what we're talking about?
We are talking about it, because in all of our past trips, we haven't managed to get to Hollywood Studios.
Isn't that shocking?
It's shocking.
Like, we've made it to Epcot like 5 times. That's not true. It
was all we do is go to four. Epcot, apparently.
Weird. I don't even know how that happened, but yeah. On accident is the answer.
Yeah. Well, there's always something interesting going on, it seems, when we go to Epcot. But we decided this time for sure we were going to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, when you're there for 4 days, it's easy to fit everything in.
True.
Right?
Yeah. And we were, so it worked.
There you go.
Hollywood Studios, it was a pretty good day.
It was super fun. I have to
say. It has a very similar feeling to California Adventure with its kind of Art Deco styling.
Yeah.
When you're walking down Main Street specifically, it feels very Hollywood, very California Adventure to me.
Well, or vice versa, because California Adventure was meant to look like you're out in the wilderness of California, and they revamped it to look like Hollywood Studios.
Right. Well, yeah, but, you know, we're West Coasters, so we think we invented everything on that side. But the weird thing about it is that I would be walking down Main Street and think I would know where I was going, and then realize, oh, wait, we're not in California Adventure. I have no idea where I'm going.
Yeah.
You know.
That is true. You did that multiple times.
I did. I said, follow me. And then we ended up in an alley. You know, it's like, this is not where we were
headed. Wait a minute. Where's Big Top Toys?
This is not what I expected. So, yeah, it was it's an interesting situation. How do you feel about the Chinese theater now being the symbol for that park?
Well, I love it. I think it was supposed to be the symbol originally.
Mm-hmm.
But then they added that the blue hat, Mickey's blue hat that was in front of that.
Yeah.
They added that for a short period of time, which ended up being a long period of time.
And people hated it.
They hate it?
When it first went in, people were like, ew, I don't like it. And then when they took it out, everybody was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're taking it out. Like,
of course.
No one can ever decide what they like and don't like. But I seem to remember people being very unhappy with the Mickey hat.
Well, and it's just that when you have that many people going to the park, even if only 7% make comments one way or the other, it feels like a lot.
Yeah, that's probably.
And I'm sure everybody had a comment about it. I'm sure only 7% were actually upset about it, because, you know,
there are some people that get real upset about that kind of stuff.
The thing that I found really shocking about the big blue metal Mickey hat, though, is that Disney World is a huge place. They got stuff everywhere, all up and down streets. They have, you know, viaducts and overducts and all kinds of roads that they could have
viaducts. They've got a watery delivery system. They've got dirigibles.
Is this not a real word?
No, you're fine.
All right.
I was thinking aqueducts when you said it.
And this probably
they probably have some aqueducts.
You know, they
somewhere.
Have aqueducts hidden there, and actual ducks. They have actual ducks as well. But no, they. I mean, there's many places you could have really moved that blue hat somewhere else. So the fact that it's nowhere on property, like, that has to be shocking, right?
I wonder if they just dismantled the whole thing and threw it away, or if they melted it down. Like, what would you do with
Cut
that
it up
otherwise? Like, does Michael Eisner have it in his backyard now?
I bet that's totally what happened. It was his parting gift from Disney. He's like, I quit. I want $150 million and blue Mickey hat.
But the hat's not there anymore, so there's no point in talking about it.
And
but
so the answer is I like it better. I like being able to walk in and see the Chinese theater down on the end of the walkway.
Eventually, that's going to be Mickey's Runaway Railway, which is a tongue twister to say, and I wish they would have thought of a different written name for that. Mickey's Runaway. You're just going to, it's not going to work out well.
I always pronounce all their ride names wrong.
That's fine then. So you'll fit right in with everyone with this one. So they still haven't told us exactly when it's opening, but so that ride's not open yet. But let's talk about.
It's 2019 though, right?
It's sometime this year. I think they said fall, whatever that means.
Don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it. I wanted to talk about a couple things specifically that I found interesting. So you remember we talked about a little while ago that someone mentioned that Star Tours wasn't as popular at Disney World as it is at Disneyland. Do you remember that?
I do remember hearing
that. And I was thinking, there's no way that's true. Because at Disneyland, that line is almost always ridiculous.
Horrendous.
And we literally did the standby line twice while we were at Hollywood Studios.
Truly, we did.
And I never do standby for that at Disneyland. So is it less popular?
Well, do you remember though, we saw that inside the bays, they have at least three ride vehicles on either side.
Yeah.
So it's at least 33% larger than Disney, if not more. Mm. Like I'm trying to remember back at Disneyland.
Yeah.
But it feels to me like there's two and two on each side, and this one looks to be three and three, but could even be larger than that. I don't know. So that alone would make the line 33% faster because they're loading quicker.
Yeah.
And then they also, the way that they had the lines organized, for some reason it felt to me like you could get on easier and better and faster, probably just because there was a little bit more room, like in and there are the metal dividers between, which I think allows you to load up the next queue somewhat faster maybe. So I think that might be what keeps the wait times down on that.
Yeah, I was just wondering, because literally I thought there's no way that it's less popular, because everyone loves Star Tours.
You just noticed an interesting thing about that ride queue, though, that the backside of everything was unfinished.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure what the goal was there. Like, I know that Hollywood Studios, originally the idea was that it was going to be a quote-unquote working studio, and that it was going to show you, like, behind the scenes and the magic, you know, whatever. And so you go to get in line for Star Tours, and it kind of weaves around, like, a bunch of trees and things. Mm-hmm. But when you step behind the trees in line, you can see that they're all built up on metal, and there's, like, grates and, like, electrical wire.
Yeah, it almost feels like it's definitely intentional that they did that.
Right? But I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Like, especially with you putting in Galaxy's Edge now, and obviously it's a different situation, but with Galaxy's Edge trying to be so superly heavily themed, I feel like Star Tours is going to look silly, you know?
I think so too, if they don't go back and finish it off or change it. Because there was a rumor, right, that there were that they were changing out the California ride to be like more of a Marvel ride or something. That can't be right, because they're putting Marvel Land in from there.
I can't remember the exact rumor, but the rumor was that they were going to take Star Tours out and not use it as a Star Wars type ride.
We overlay it with something different.
Put something else there. Yeah.
And I'm sure we've already talked about it on this podcast, and people are probably like, you just talked about it. How can you not remember? We don't remember.
I don't remember. I don't remember talking to you 15 minutes ago.
Well, what makes it fun about that is then we can go back and listen to our own podcast later and go, we are so interesting, y'all.
Aren't we funny?
Because we don't remember facts about Star Wars.
Anytime I need a good laugh, I just listen to myself.
Oh, well.
Because I think I sound dumb.
But I thought the park was really fun about how it, like, it felt kind of more like a city to me. Mm. You know, California Adventure is laid out so you're never... I was lost in that park all the time.
Mm.
Like, it was fun. It's been a long time since I've been lost in a park and had no idea where we were going and where... And we'd walk through the same place multiple times and go, oh, I totally didn't know that's where we were at.
I forgot that this was a thing.
Yeah, which I thought was super fun.
I wanted to touch on the Municiburg thing that opened.
Oh yeah, this is a brand new thing.
It is a new thing. They themed an area to be the city where the Incredibles are from.
Mm-hmm.
What were your initial impressions of that area?
So I saw a little bit on YouTube before we went in there. So I was really excited about a couple of things. The whole Jack laser marks across the sidewalk and his melting into the walls and like his melted cookie on the concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I was so dang excited to see that.
Yeah.
So I loved it.
Yeah, like, you loved all that.
That's all. Plus, we got that cool candy, that cool ice cream thing there, the lime pie. Well,
I was going to talk about that too, but my initial impression of walking in there was that it was kind of small.
Right.
Like, it's kind of like an alleyway. And anyone that's been to Hollywood Studios before, it's where the entry to the Toy Story Mania ride was.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little tight in there anyway. And then they've put in a bunch of meet and greets and stalls and things down there. So it felt a little tight to me. If it was a really popular area, it would be very claustrophobic in my opinion.
But there's nothing down there to really see other than
that's
Edna Mode.
My problem with it is that it feels kind of temporary and slapped in there.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything. The little Jack-Jacks running around are cute. They kind of reminded me of the babies on sticks in California Adventure.
Yeah, but you didn't retheme a whole mega ride around
true
him. So the fact that he's just subtly in the background is what Disney's really good at.
Yeah.
And what you like, you don't like it when it's a whole ride dedicated to subtly.
Right. You don't need a subtle roller coaster. That's just right? Not anybody's idea of fun.
But the rumor is because and that it's basically going to be an overflow walkthrough through Galaxy's Edge when it gets too busy or something.
Mm.
That they're going to have people exit through what is now Municiburg.
Gotcha.
And that's why, because if you do see down on the end, there are gates that
that's
have
a big
the
old set of gates,
right? And so that has to obviously lead somewhere. It could also be like another way for them to get, you know, parades or something through as well. It could be like a parade queue of some sort. Mm-hmm. I bet you there's a much larger concept behind there and we're only seeing, you know, and they just kind of added something for us to be part of.
Sure. Another way for us to spend money by putting things down there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we didn't end up getting the Jack-Jack cookie num-num thing.
It was just so sweet.
We saw a family eating one and I'm like, I don't know that I can commit to that right now. That looks like a commitment kind of snack.
It's true.
But the key lime pie on a stick, we're like, we can totally do that, you know.
Is that before or after we found out it was baby size?
Well, it is right next to Toy Story. So I decided that they just put it in the wrong stall. It was supposed to be in Toy Story.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
My opinion. Literally, I thought we were going to get something that looked like a Dove bar, like a full size, like ice cream bar type thing.
Yeah.
And they're like $5.
Uh-huh.
So you're like, that would probably equal out. And then they hand it to you, and it's probably 3 inches long, maybe 4 inches
right.
long.
Right, so it's at least half the size of a regular ice cream bar.
Right, it was tiny. And like, trying to share it, like, you're like holding the stick, and there's not enough space for another person's fingers to be on the stick. So it's a weird pass-off type thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, to be fair, it was really good. I thought it tasted amazing.
Yeah, it was definitely at the end of it, I thought it was enough.
Yeah.
You know? You're like, and we shared it, which was great.
It's basically like a key lime pie filling with a graham cracker piece in there. Like a whole side of it is graham cracker.
Sure.
And then they coat it in white chocolate.
And I know we've already talked about this, but I totally want to get into this again one more time about how Disney food is just always a little too something.
It's a little
off. It's either too small or too cold or too hot or too little or too wet or too
messy.
Bland or too messy or too, like, you're just like, you just always something.
It's and that just was a tad off.
And it was definitely something, y'all.
But speaking of Toy Story Land, what did you think of the Toy Story area?
It was pretty fun. It was great. We had a great time.
It's superly. It's super cool.
Can you tell that we're all tired from our trip?
I'm tired. I'm just tired in general. Not even trips.
We've been running around Disney for 4 days. Give us a break.
the theming is very intense. Like, it's everywhere, and it's very impressive. All the the gates and the fences are built up of, you know, kids' toys, and the restaurants are all, you know, it's a lunchbox, and it's fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
It suffers from the same problem that all new lands suffer from, is that everybody wants to be in there.
Yeah.
So I found it a little oppressive to have so many people around. I find it hard to enjoy the small details when I'm trying to avoid strollers and large groups of people. I'm trying to be conscientious of other people while I'm walking through that many people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and we had a couple of issues when we went through there too. We had a fast pass, quote unquote fast pass, to get on Toy Story.
Yeah.
And that was only running at half capacity because of some issue, right?
Right.
So that fast pass took forever, but then we got a free fast pass off of it.
We did.
And then we later were going to go do the Flying Saucer ride.
Yeah.
You see how well around. I remember all these names?
Yeah. Steve is on top of that. He's making
But
notes.
I was excited. I was really excited for that ride. And we were going at night when it was supposed to be all dark and cool.
The lights were fun.
Yeah. It totally looked like fun. And it also was running at half capacity. Yeah,
they were having issues that day for some reason.
I think it was we decided though that it was probably the guests that were there that were having issues, that were causing issues. You know,
potentially. I saw one of the cleaning crew people walking towards the spinny ride, and I was like,
there you go.
I'm going to just venture a guess and say that they may have had a little too many key lime pies on a stick to be riding on a spinny ride. A thought.
And maybe this is why they make Disney food so small, so people won't puke all over their rides.
Or, yeah, it's possible. But Toy Story Land, I think it was fun. I would like to one day ride the Slinky Dog ride.
One day.
I think seeing the lines there, it's kind of like, it's not like an extreme coaster, so I'm not too anxious. It's more of a family coaster.
Which sounds perfect for me.
You're a fan?
I think it would be very extreme for me.
Oh.
That's not true. I like coasters. It's fine.
Okay.
Because we did go on Aerosmith coaster, which the last time I've only been to that, I've only been on that ride one time before.
Yeah.
That whole park only one time before.
Yeah.
And I forgot how absolutely cool all of the Aerosmith coaster is.
Oh, you like that one?
Everything about it. Like the fact that you walk underneath the car upside down and the big guitar, you feel like you're going into the Hard Rock Cafe, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's super incredibly fun. But the last time they had like a Star Wars tent past that, so they were using that area out front.
Yeah.
So it didn't really sell quite the same way.
Sure.
Having it this way, where you literally walk into just the area where just that ride is, you're like, this is cool.
It is a fun ride.
Cool. It's sad to think that, you know, they may change it at some point in time unless they buy Aerosmith, which is possible. I'm in favor of that. Just buy Aerosmith, Disney.
Yeah. Just spend the money. But that area also is home of your least favorite ride, which I forced you to go on again.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe it's been long enough since we rode that version that maybe you would find it interesting. I was sadly mistaken.
No, I'm getting there.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
I will let you lie to yourself. I'll let you do that. But pictures don't lie.
Truly, that
and
is true.
You were not happy on that ride.
And my arm was all shaking really hard and everything because I was so nervous of what we were going up and down. It's pretty embarrassing. But I've decided I have a whole new concept about this ride. This is how I'm getting through Tower of Terror.
Okay.
Is I'm going to tell myself, it's a fun ride.
It's a fun ride.
I'm having a fun time. This is absolutely fun. And then reward myself with an amazing pin or something afterwards.
Okay.
We got the really fun magnet. With the Mickey.
Spinny. Really,
yeah. And then we put it on the fridge. And now I get to spin it every time I'm walking through the front room for the kitchen. And I'm like, this is awesome.
So how many rides do you think it'll take before you have your hands up on?
They will run out of pins. Before I raise my hands to it.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
But I mean, hopefully they keep adding merch and stuff, you know, so I get a new pin.
Tower's very popular, so it's possible.
Because we saw that other pin, that like the disappearing characters.
Yeah, that one's fun.
That's so fun. So now I'm excited to go back and ride it just so we can buy that new pin.
There you go.
And I want to get a lanyard very dedicated for it.
Ooh.
Oh, it's going to be a thing, y'all.
This is the thing about Steve, is he wants to be organized. So if you can organize something,
then it's going to be fun.
Then you can enjoy it.
And they'll be like, I can get through all of those rides to get to the end destination, which is a lanyard full of pins.
There you go.
$1,000 later.
Yeah, right. It only cost us $1,000 to get you on Tower of Terror. Speaking of things that used to be in California that are no longer, we also got to see the Muppet Vision 3D show.
Oh my gosh, it was so much better than I remembered.
I really enjoy that show.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen a lot of great Muppets things lately. They tried to do the TV show. It wasn't that great. You know, they did some horrific R-rated puppet version.
Oh, they did. That
did not do well. So it was fun to go back and see the Muppets being funny the way the Muppets have always been funny. I really appreciated that show and just wanted to point out that it's very good and totally worth seeing.
I do see that in the show, like, there are some spots that are pretty that the energy level drops, and I can see, like, that might be the one reason why people are less, why kids are less interested in it. You know, they're like,
possibly.
Oh. But other than that, the theater's great. The show's great.
And then I also wanted to talk about the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
Oh, it was.
It was spectacular.
Wasn't it, though?
See, I'm a fan of everyone knows I'm a fan of the Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
I enjoy the movies. I enjoy the music. I enjoy the ride at Disneyland. So this is my first time, though, going to see the stunt show. And, for me, honestly, the best part was the beginning because it was themed the way that I love. It looked like a big, you know, temple in the jungle, and it had the statues and the boulder and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was massive.
That was by far my favorite part of the show. But what's crazy is that they have this massive set that's probably, I would say it's probably the length of at least a football field. Like,
yeah, the stadium is an outdoor amphitheater that seats 2,000 plus people or more.
Right. And so it's like, it's a huge set that they use for that one opening scene, and then they break it apart and move it off to the side and do other things.
Yep.
And I'm like, wow, that's a lot for the one beginning opening scene.
That's what I thought too.
It's a lot.
That's an expensive opening.
Well, and it's an expensive ending too. They do all their explosions, and they have their flying wing from the first movie. Like, it's a proper show that you sit and enjoy for a good minute.
And they do it like every hour on the hour. Like,
yeah, they are cranking through that show.
Legit.
And yeah, totally worth seeing also. Absolutely. Thankfully, we our fast passes, we got a free experience when Toy Story Mania broke down.
Oh.
So we got to use our fast passes for the Indiana Jones show.
Do you think we're going to have to see if you need one to get into that show?
I don't feel like you needed to.
It's possible, though. They crammed us in
but
there.
But real quick, we're running long, but real quick, we also have to talk about seeing Fantasmic that night.
Oh, okay.
you can tell Steve is on board for this. Speaking of cramming people in there, there were people sitting down as the lights were dimming. Like, that stadium was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And that park wasn't even that busy that day. And mm-hmm. That stadium was packed. And I feel bad because I don't feel like those people know what they're really missing, because that show is not as good as the California version.
No.
Not even close. Mm-hmm. But we've already talked about that.
And we'll talk about it again.
I'm sure we will. But it's like I always say, it's time for a salute to all countries, but mostly America. So, until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.